I better get those feet tapping, fingers snapping, all hands clapping. Buckle up, gobble some podcorn. It's the Mickle Pod and Pickle with Mickle. And here we go. Monday, March 25th, 2024, Monday after the madness. There will be no monkeying around. Yeah! I had to do it. Kenny made me do it. Millions of others will do it too. The Yale coach did it ahead of the game. Respect. I thought about monkeying about the fact that today is National Medal of Honor Day. And when the day comes about that people take issue with the medal due to the origination of our nation's highest military honor, and there's no damn train on it. Today, if you are easily bored by March Madness talk and brackets, this seed and that seed, go read some Tolkien. Now that you woke up, 16 teams are still alive for that one ring to cut down the nets right here in Glendale. They will come from LA, Dallas, Detroit, and Boston. Yes, saving Boston for last was intentional. The best day today is also the last. Eat one if you can get one, and that is one Lobster Newberg. You don't see a lot of the old intentional miss free throw. You know, chuck it hard, bank it off the back for the long rebound. Though you do see a lot of missed free throws watching this year's tournament. You also see a lot of intentional fouls that aren't being called. They're letting the boys play. Now, I know that three is more than one. I'm here to tell you, those ones really matter. What matters today is not that Robert the Bruce was crowned King of Scotland in 1306. It matters that his decisive victory at Bannockburn, freeing Scotland from English tyranny, is shown at the very end of the wonderful documentary, Braveheart. Today will be much of a tournament recap and look ahead. 16 teams wanting the ultimate respect, being crowned national champion. How's your bracket looking? In what percentile do you rank in any of the online challenges? What is your bracket name? What's your best bracket name? Because I know you got more than one. Are you winning your office pool? R-E-S-P-E-C-T, find out what it means to be sweet. R-E-S-P-E-C-T, cutting down that to carry T-C-B, oh yeah. A little respect. You figured it out yet? Let me sack it to you, 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 sack it to you. A little respect. Happy birthday is due the Queen of Respect, Aretha Franklin. As teams march on to become college basketball's Titan, today is also when Titan, the largest moon of Saturn, was discovered. I'm not sure if we're going to discover anything today, except that I can do a good job of butchering a great song. You could say every day is a discovery. Shit, I just did. We must stay in our lane. Or on our court, I should say. How about women's coach Kim Mulkey looking to take the Washington Post to court? It is an interesting story. The women's tourney is going on too. And LSU is looking to repeat. Let me repeat something you should already know. Look at your face in the mirror. Is that beard or stash sweet? Is it championship level? Go to ValhallaBeardAndBody.net. Use promo code MICK15 and give your beard and body some respect. Use MICK15 at ValhallaBeardAndBody.net. Remember, it's always beard season. Respectfully, our time on the court will be short, so we can get back to the action on the hardwood. Let's get to it! The dinking, smashing, third shot dropping, got pickleball fever, and it's not stopping, it's Pickle and Mickle. Pickle and Mickle. Pickle and Mickle, alright! If you didn't know, Andre Dyescu, you now know the March of Andre continued this week in Miami until it ran into a hurricane. at the APP Miami Open, Hurricane Tyra Black and Dylan Frazier took home mixed gold over Diaskew and Megan Fudge. Frazier would grab gold with J.W. Johnson in men's doubles, and Sister Georgia would grab a gold in women's doubles. Hunter Johnson grabbed the men's gold. Megan Fudge would win women's singles. That match, a thriller against Jenna Hesser. Jenna, you know, she's been on this show. She's one to watch. And you can watch my interview with her and Carol Rolls. It's out on YouTube at The Mickle Pod and everywhere in the Podverse. APP action was on multiple ESPN channels, outlets on Sunday for Championship Sunday. You could catch it ahead of the NCAA tournament games. You could have recorded it. The point is, you can find it. The Atlantic Cup also debuted in Miami, pitting Team USA against Team Europe. I love it. I love Team Pickleball. Let's see it continue, build momentum to get this thing into Olympics. Here is the overriding story that comes out of the Atlantic Cup. And it's for you, Ryder Cuppers, Team USA Ryder Cup. Let's hope somebody sends them, can Ken Herman or one of the coaches send the captains of our Ryder Cup team video of Sunday matches as Team USA comes back. They were down to Team Europe, right? They were down 4-2 heading into that final Sunday. Just like our American Ryder Cup team often finds themselves down to Team Europe heading into the final, you know, singles matches or some overcomable obstacle. Not our team, not this Atlantic Cup team. They came back to win it, and they are Atlantic Cup champions. Congratulations, Team USA. We've got to keep this thing going. Who is next? What I want to know is, in the spirit of March Madness, did they cut down the nets? I bet my man Monroe snipped a little piece of that net. I want to see it. APP and PPA will take a break. They're going to resume in April. If you haven't noticed, let me see if I can frame this up. MLP teasers are resuming on social media. This is when they're flashing out, you know, like a playing card of signed, committed to the tour. And I think I see some of those are PPA themed as well, right? PPA, MLP, they're together, they merged. Are you committed to one versus the other? I think I need to be committed. Can I get a player to commit to coming on this show and talking about their deal? Everyone, I want to know. The optics, right? The overall optics, which we're always so concerned about, it was great, right? There's $75 million, whatever the cash egg, since it's coming up on Easter. You like that? And now MLP is back. There's the Challenger draft, April 3rd. I don't know if there's going to be a premier draft. Hell, it all might change. How about putting out a post like we do in all of the other major sports? It says player X signed 2 years, $125K, something like that. Bring us in a little bit. Get us under the covers, right? We want to know. We're going to start to see what they're making from their endorsements. We know that's going to be what really can buoy some of these players, I think, even younger players. I mean, maybe I'm the only one who doesn't know, though I'm pretty sure a lot of people would like to know more, just a little more under the covers, right? Bring us into the players' tent and let us know, right, what they're making. We hear professional pickleball players can make anywheres upwards of $95,000, $100,000 a year, right? I don't know. Is that all tournament money? I don't know what the payouts at tournaments are, really. I mean, I know this, and I will, with all respect, try to find an MLP player, or even a few, who will join me on the court and talk contracts for the upcoming season and all that shit. I'm going to try to do all that before May 9th. That's when MLP is supposed to kick off in Atlanta. Woo, the nines. We love the nines around here. Three nines had a chance to be sweet. It's time to leave the court. Out of respect, I can tell you that if you practice your third shot drop, your game will improve. Now, you better not join one of those reseeding bracket challenges to make yourself feel better. You know, it's not going to help you improve. You got to stick with your overall bracket. You got to ride it. It doesn't mean we can't make predictions. I'm talking my bracket, a sweet elite final look ahead, and more. Maybe, I don't know. I don't know if we'll have enough time. Go get some podcorn. We're coming back after this. The Mickle Pod and Pickle with Mickle is all new, twice a week, all major podcast apps. Earbuds in, podcorn ready. It's back to the show.
Here we go. Welcome to the NCAA tournament. Everyone in this tournament is a champion.
March Madness, a weekend of madness, really. It's the first two rounds that truly captivate us, bring us into stories we might be unfamiliar with, small towns, where the colleges matter to the whole community. This tournament highlights those moments, as some players will not have a chance to shine at the next level. Let it showcase some good in sports, vulnerability of players, coaches, and fans. Yes, we can be fanatics at this one shining time of year. And if you watch the GCU game Sunday, you could hear the screams. Seriously, who had that game again? Was it TNT, TBS, True, CBS? You can't dole that crap in from the feed somehow. I mean, it was taking over the announcers, so maybe you couldn't. I mentioned the boys playing. More on that in a few, because over the weekend, in the second round, we saw looser whistles, letting the boys play. We saw horrible free throw shooting. Look, I respect these players, the pressure they're under. I've not been on that kind of stage. I'm not saying I can make free throws. I'm not a college basketball player. You have to make the effing free throws, right? I mean, I'll get to it. How about getting to the rim? Is that a last lost art? Or when you get there, don't pass it back out for a three. There have been amazing moments, like I said. This first weekend brings us in at that fever pitch. We want it so bad. Who's going to wear the slipper? We have 16 sweet teams left, all capable of getting to Glendale and cutting down that net. One more time. Out of respect for Yale! Jenna Hessert went to Yale. Yale went to the weekend as a 13 seed. Think they came up with some segments on the fly to ease Barkley's pain because Yale beat Auburn. Of course, it's okay, Chuck. You get paid to say not smart things. He should know better. He jinxed his own squad. Okay, back to the brackets. Not reseeding. We're getting elite, predicting the final. How come the new thing, though, is the 12 to 15 foot pull-up when you could get 3 to 4 feet closer? Saw it all weekend. Ah, I'm going to need a mental break. Four regions, four champions will emerge, all colliding in Glendale to be college basketball's titan. I like that. Let us start in the East. This is where my bracket, the one I did on this show, took a hit. I missed Northwestern, Yale, Wazoo, and the Clones. The Illini look sweet, and here they are. They're going to face Iowa State, this Iowa State team that has the pieces. Illinois handled Morehead State the way they should have. They left no doubt against Duquesne, who just could not get it going. And they could not find a way to get back in the second half, even though it looked like it was kind of close. In this entire breakdown, I want to focus on, or have you remember, free throws. And of course, three-pointers. I mean, oh my goodness, do we shoot threes with reckless abandon. The Clones shot 82% from the free throw line, 50% percent from three. They held Washington State to 5-21, shooting from behind the arc, and only 9 free throw attempts. I think that's important. Now here come the Illini, the number 3 seed. Remember, this is a 2-3, who shot 70% from the charity stripe, 33% from behind the arc, yet 60% overall. These teams have similar styles. Iowa State shot fewer threes in the second round. Illinois likes to run if they can. My man Milan must be big for the clones. Can Illinois foul him up early? You got to get him into foul trouble. Lipsy's going to find a way. He's just going to. Hal Ward contributes for the clones off the bench. That might just be the X factor. I think it's a big factor. Keyshawn Gilbert finding some form puts the clones through, in my opinion. Shout out to my Ames peeps. The Illini, they're going to rely on that starting five. It's a balanced attack, and I expect their three-ball attack to be sharper. This is the time for buzzer beaters. More overtime. It is the Sweet 16. Now, on the other side of the region, you want to play a repeat? UConn, San Diego, they're going to go at it again. This is one of the sweetest of 16 matchups. It's a repeat from last year's final. Players remain the same. They've gotten better. They've gotten wiser. That's the key players. Coaches are the same. This time, it's about getting what was lost and for UConn to repeat. Now, Danny Hurley knows something about repeats. His brother did it. Now he has a chance as a coach to guide this Husky squad one step closer. Got to get through the Aztecs. My bracket says UConn. My heart says Aztecs. I have to make a prediction. I must make a prediction. Just not yet. It was a good run for the Bulldogs. Those Yale Bulldogs who face San Diego State in the second round. Can't stop doing it. Won't stop doing it. Don't have to stop doing it. UConn has not been tested. Or have they just been able to get by? Let me point this out. 26% from behind the arc. 70% from the line. Ouch. Number ones, in my opinion, should get to this point. Am I going to go San Diego State? Stay tuned. That might change. Like MLB players getting signed. Signs point out west. This is easy. How can I say this? Go Heels. I've not hidden my allegiances on this show. I will not back down. Carolina beats Bama, who somehow allowed GCU back into that game. Did you watch that game? It was a lot closer than it looked. It was physical. And to quote Sir Charles, just dumb basketball. I didn't do a very good Barkley right there, but he must have said dumb 4 or 5 times, and I can still hear that shrieking fan. The ACC is representing very well in this Sweet 16. Clemson has what it takes to bear down on Arizona, send the Cats back home to the desert again, an early exit, earlier than, of course, all the fans out here expect, except for the fact that they've started to accept it. You know what Arizona did? They went and plucked a Tar Heel. They went and grabbed a Tar Heel so they could make a run in March, and Caleb Love will be the difference keeping these Cats level-headed. Free throws. Free throws. Free throws. Clemson makes them. The Cats give them. Arizona fouls, okay? Clemson makes free throws. That might make the difference. What about over in the South? It will not make a difference. If I think Puke can beat Houston, I cannot say that they will. Houston and Texas A&M played in one of the craziest games I have had the pleasure of watching in a long time. How did it get into overtime? In the end, Houston, another number one, holds on. And now hold on. Here come the Dukies. And trust me, they're going to swagger in after decimating the Dukes of James Madison. Yes, Duke can give Houston fits. I am just taking the side of coaching pedigree, senior leadership, maybe just some karma that sets up, remember, repeat, remember, Phi Slamma Jamma, Jimmy V, the Wolfpack is back, baby. How cool would it be to see Houston and NC State playing in the regional final? Sometimes you can't fight fate. Arguably, two of the best games of the tournament happening on the same day. First, it was NC State. The tournament gives us stories like Oakland, not Cinderella's, just ask sharpshooter Jack Golke of the Golden Grizzlies. Famous quote, we're going to hear that for madnesses to come. The problem is there, Jack, your president of your school had a slipper that they put out there in the bleachers. Anyways, let the boys play. They did. Who was left at the end? Who was left standing? Over the weekend, bodies were flying everywhere. This game was incredible. The Wolfpack are not only, well, they are the only double-digit seed left, and they have what it takes to beat Marquette, a DJ. DJ Burns, another guy you like to root for. I mean, someone had to lose between Oakland and NC State. Someone had to lose in the game we're going to talk about. Someone always has to lose. One team always does. Here's a fun fact for you. It's not likely to see two teams from the same conference in the Final Four. The last time it happened, I think it was like the Big East, for crying out loud. That does not matter. That other game that we're talking about, it was in the Midwest. Double overtime. Blue Jays outlast Ducks. This was madness. I don't even know how to explain it. Just like I don't know how the Texas A&M game got into overtime. How the hell did this thing get into double overtime? The Ducks just ran out of feathers and feet to swim anymore. 3 minutes and 30 seconds. 3 minutes, 30 seconds in the second half. Because the overtime I'm still crazy from it, right? 3 minutes, 30 seconds of madness. There were bodies on the floor. The ball was going everywhere. The announcers were going crazy. I was going crazy. Creighton advances, and now they got to face Tennessee. Rick Barnes beats his old squad. Tennessee takes out Texas. The game, to me, not as close as it might have looked down the stretch. This Vols team is solid, and to continue going in this tournament, every team with a hope is gonna have to be just as solid. The Sweet 16 will get underway Thursday when the lights go out Sunday and the last pieces of net are cut down. Four teams will be elite regional champions heading to Glendale in the Final Four to play for ultimate respect. Tar Heels and Zags were my pick, and I'm not shying away. There will be some Huskies barking and Eagles soaring. Now roar into the rest of your week. Stay safe out there. Stay hydrated. I'll see all y'all right here next time for more.